Bibles to Acts chapter 3, the third chapter of Acts. Last Sunday we were in chapter 6. Today we're going to put it in reverse and go to chapter 3 and see what the Lord has to speak to us on today. Acts chapter 3. As you find Acts chapter 3, I want you to consider the question, why did you come to church today? There are many other places you could be right now, especially on a morning like this, but you came to church today. I want you to ask yourself, why did you come? Did you come with expectation? Are you expecting to see something or hear something or experience something? Or did you come because it's what's on your calendar for today, that every Sunday from 10 to 11:30 you come? I think it's a question that we need to consider, because if God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, then it seems like to me that we ought to come expecting something. It seemed like to me that if we serve a God who can do anything, it seemed like to me when we come together, we ought to come expecting him to do something. And I want you to know that no matter what you came expecting today, God can give you much more than what you are expecting. Hallelujah. He can give you much more than what you are expecting. In the text today, we find a man who came to church every day at 3 o'clock p.m. for the prayer service. And he came expecting one thing. And every day he came expecting that one thing, he received exactly what he was expecting. Until one day, he met Peter and John. And because of his exchange with them, he received more than what he was expecting. Something happened to him that day that he wasn't expecting to happen, but he was at the right place at the right time, and he received it. Let's see what the Bible says. Acts chapter 3, let's first read verses 1 through 5. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. So here it is, this man, he came to church every day at 3 o'clock for what? For money. He came to ask for money. Now, people come to church for many different reasons. This man had a specific reason for coming. Every day at 3 o'clock, he came to ask for money. Now, I understand why he had to do that. He was lame from birth. And in those days, you couldn't apply for disability, and the government wasn't going to take care of you. So if you had some type of disability and you weren't able to work, the only way you could survive was to ask for money. You had to be a beggar. That's why you read in the Bible about the blind beggar. Here we have a lame beggar, because if you couldn't work, the only way of survival was to beg. And he chose the right place to go beg for money. He stayed right in front of the temple where the people would come in every day at 3 o'clock for prayer. Now here's the thing. He knew where to go to get some help. Because guess what? People who pray for real cannot walk past somebody who has a need and they're able to do something and they don't do anything about it. Now, people who pretend like they're praying and they fake like they're praying, it's easy for them to walk by people who have needs and don't do anything about it. But people who spend time with God for real, they cannot walk past somebody who has a need and they have ability to do something to ease their suffering. It is impossible for them to walk on past and do nothing about the person suffering. So he was at the right place at the right time because he knew the saints were going in to pray, and if they walked by him, they would feel compelled to do something to help him. So every day, he went to the temple at 3 o'clock, and they gave him money. Now, I do have a couple of questions to ask the text, so please allow me to ask this question. The first question that I want to ask is, how come he wasn't asking for prayer? The people are going into the temple to pray to God who can do anything. He's a way maker, miracle worker. He's a healer. He's a provider. Why didn't he ask for prayer? And then why didn't anybody offer him prayer? Why was he satisfied just getting a temporary need supplied when he had a more permanent need that needed to be addressed? And I'm concerned that we could go to church day after day and don't expect anything. I'm concerned that we can be in a situation so long that we could come to church every day and lose the expectation that God can do something about our situation. He was lame from birth, so maybe he accepted this as his fate. But I'm telling y'all today that there are certain things that I am not willing to accept unless God himself tells me this is it. I expect God to do something about my situation. I'm not accepting anything just because it's happening when I serve a God who can do anything. He can do anything, huh? I don't know about you, but I'm like the man who had the prodigal son who went down the road, and every day he looked down the road and he said, this may be the day that my son comes. He went yesterday, he wasn't there, but he got up the next day and said, I gotta go back to the road because this may be the day that my son comes. So, and let me tell y'all, every time I come into the house of the Lord, I come saying, this may be the day that I receive my miracle. This may be the day that my life changes. And so I come when I'm broken. I come when I'm tired. I come when I'm sad. I come when I'm frustrated, because this may be the day that I get my miracle. Can I tell you, it's easy to stay home from church if you don't expect anything to happen. Can I offend some people? It don't take nothing to stay at home and watch TV while the saints of the Most High have come together if you don't expect anything. But if you realize that when the saints come together, the atmosphere is charged with faith and power, and in the atmosphere of faith and power, anything could happen. So I come say, this may be the day. That's why I don't care if it's 2 or 200 in here, because y'all don't have what I need. He has what I need, and this may be the day that my son is healed. This may be the day that my mind is delivered. This may be the day I come expecting something to happen every day. I don't care if it's Sunday morning. I don't care if it's Bible study. I don't care if it's the picnic yesterday. When the saints come together, I expect something to happen. sorry for this man that he came to prayer service every day at 3 o'clock and didn't expect anything to happen. That's my first problem. My second problem is, who are these people who brought him to the gate every day? Anybody got a problem with the people who brought him to the gate every day? You got to be careful who you let carry you in your time of need. These people carried him to the temple and left him outside. I got problems with y'all. Listen, all of us go through situations in our life when there are times when we need somebody to carry us. Every once in a while, you get lame in an area of your life. It may be financially, it may be emotionally, it may be spiritually, and the only way you're going to make it is if somebody carry you. But don't let somebody carry you to the gate and drop you off at the gate. Tell them folks to bring you into the temple where the prayer is going on. Bring me into the presence of the living God. Listen, if anything ever happens to me, do not bring me to the gate and leave me outside. Bring me all the way in here where the prayers are going up before the living God. And then let me say this too. On the flip side, when somebody wants you to carry them, you let them know, if I carry you, I'm bringing you all the way in. I'm not just going to give you $20 every now and then. I'm not going to pay this bill every other month. No, we're going all the way into the temple so that you can learn how to manage your money. We're going all the way in the temple so you don't have to go back to the same vice that you use. No, we're going to get you delivered. I'm not just going to feed your habit. I'm going to bring you in the temple. So you won't be lame anymore. So you don't have to walk with that limp anymore. Don't carry people and leave them outside. Tell them, if you don't want me to bring you all the way in, ask somebody else to carry you. I'm not going to support your habit. Oh, I don't have no church here. Okay, let me move on. I'm not going to help you stay lame when I know there's a God that can help you walk. What kind of friend are you that you leave them outside? Bring them all the way in to the temple. Came to the temple every day at 3 o'clock, left the man outside. Let's look at verse 6. I'm almost through here. Verse 6 says, but Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. He said, I don't have any money, but I have the authority to use the name of Jesus. So Peter tells him to do something that he's never done before. He said, get up and walk. The man has been lame from birth. He came here not able to walk. But Peter looked at him and said, listen, you asked for money. First of all, he said, look at me. If you're going to ask me for money, look at me. Read the text. He said, look at us, okay? You asked for money. Isn't it rude? Somebody asks you for money, but they don't even look at you. No, if you're going to ask me for money, look me in my eye and ask me for money. Anyway, he told the man to do something in the name of Jesus Christ. Do something that you've never done before. This is the first key of power that we have as believers that makes us all equal, whether you have silver and gold or none. All of us have been given the equal power and authority to say in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I can't pay your rent, but in the name of Jesus Christ, you will find a job. You will. I can't do it for you. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, take up your bed and walk. Then verse number 7. Look at what he said. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. He said, get up and walk. And then he helped him walk. Hear what I'm saying. It's not enough to tell people to do something that they've never done before. You got to help them to do it. Notice what he said. He didn't just say, in the name of Jesus, take up your bed and walk, and then start going into the temple. No, he said, in the name of Jesus, take up your bed and walk. And then he extended his right hand and said, come on, I'm going to help you do it. That's what we got to do. You can't just tell people to do something they've never done before. Reach out there, hit your hand, and help them walk. You don't just tell people you got to live right, you got to pray, you got to do right, you got to be responsible. They ain't never prayed before. They were never responsible before. Take them by their hand and help them to do what they've never done before. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just tell you what to do, but anything he tells you to do, he helps you to do it? Oh, I don't have a church. He doesn't just give you a command and expect you to do it on your own. No, he helps you to do it. Second part of verse 7. He says, and as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Notice the text. It doesn't just say the man was healed. It says he was healed and strengthened. Oh, this is good news here. The good news here is that God always completes the work. He doesn't halfway do anything. The man has never used his legs. So it was not enough for God to fix whatever the problem was. His muscles were weak. So he would have had healed legs, but too weak to walk. And so he still would have been lame. I want somebody to know that not only will God heal you, but he will strengthen you. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let me tell you, not only when I was sick, not only did God heal my body, but he healed my mind and he healed my spirit. What good is it to have a healed body and a weak mind? What good is it to have a healed hands but a weak spirit? You still won't be able to accomplish anything. So I got good news for somebody today that God wants to heal you and strengthen you. Oh, yes. You're going to make it through it. You're going to take it. You're not going to just survive, but you are going to thrive. You are going to dominate, because after he heals you, he gives you strength. Hallelujah. Praise God for strength. He was healed and strengthened. Verse 8. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, hold on for a minute. Look at all the stuff he did that he had never done before. He jumped, never did that before. He stood, never did that before. And he walked, and he never did that before. Can I tell somebody, you're getting ready to do something that you've never done before. Hallelujah to God. Oh, it's going to happen. Then he went walking, leaping, and praising God. Walking, leaping, praising God. Never did that before. And where did he go? He went into the temple with them. Oh, hallelujah to God. Oh, you got to know when God does something for you. You got to know that the first place you got to go is to the temple, because some of us would have ran home and said, look, y'all, I can walk now. They carried me in, but I walked out. But that's not where he went first. First, he went into the temple. Hallelujah. He walked into the temple with them, praising God. Jumping, leaping, walking, praising God. Oh, Lord, I don't know who I'm here for, but somebody came here saying, God, I'm ready to start doing things that I've never been able to do before. I've been lame and crippled in this area of my life all my life, and I'm sick and tired of being a beggar, asking somebody else to do it. God says, this may be the day. Hallelujah. You came in here lame, but you can walk out of here leaping and praising God. So the man went into the temple. And I'm almost done here. Verse 9, he says, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. Now, the same people who walked past him to give him money, Bible says all of them saw him walking and heard him praising God. Verse 10, when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. Now, this is a great scenario that we see playing out here. People come into prayer, walk past a man who was lame, gave him some money, and now they look up and they see the same man in their midst praising God. The problem that I have with this part of the text is that how come people who came to the temple every day at 3 o'clock to pray to God were surprised when they saw a miracle? You are here every day at 3 o'clock with your face on the floor before God, and you see a miracle and you are surprised. You know what? I'm only surprised when something happens that I wasn't expecting. I'm surprised when people show up who I thought weren't coming because I wasn't expecting them. Can I tell you? There's something wrong with us if we come together and we pray and we praise and we don't expect anything to happen. There's something wrong if we could throw ourselves before God who can do anything, and then when he does something, we are surprised. Let me tell you, be thankful, be appreciative, be grateful, be in awe, but don't be surprised. Lord have mercy. I'm not surprised. Why? Because I expect a miracle. The Clark sister said, I expect a miracle every day. Hallelujah. Every day I'm looking for a miracle. Listen, God has done some great things in my life, and I am thankful, and I am appreciative, and I am grateful, but I'm not surprised. Why? Because he's a promise keeper. He's a miracle worker. That's what he does. He does the impossible. Saints, be thankful, but don't be surprised. You got to leave here expecting. What are you expecting? Huh? I'm going to get out of here, but did you come here today expecting anything? Have you set the bar so low that you are okay with just going through the routine of coming to church Sunday after Sunday with no expectation? I'm too old for that. If I'm doing anything, if I invest in anything, I expect to get something out of it. I got off my bed this morning, tired in my body after all week long, but I came expecting God to say something or do something. And I wish we were the church that ran in here on Sundays with expectation that today may be the day that Almighty God does something in here that we've never seen Him do before. What do you expect? Maybe nothing's happening because you don't expect anything. Lord have mercy. If you expect something to happen, you prepare for it. How do you prepare for it? You don't come in here with a bowed down head and arms folded and say, we got to pump and prime you to make you feel better. No, you come in here saying, I expect God to do something today. Y'all working me too hard now. It's been a long week. Listen, isn't it sad that he spent all those years getting dropped off at the gate? All those people of faith and power going in for prayer. And nobody said, not today. I'm not giving you another dollar in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, y'all, why y'all laughing? Y'all, some of y'all, somebody been asking y'all for some money. You need to tell them tomorrow, not today. I'm not giving you no more money. Come on, let's go into the temple. Yeah, that's all right. Let me, that's going to help save some of y'all some money. And you're welcome. Come on, praise God for saving money. Money is temporary, but deliverance is forever. When God delivers you, you are delivered forever. Listen, I decided I don't want to be a beggar all my life. At some point, I want to be able to use what God gave me and do something. Anybody tired of being a beggar? Listen, stand to your feet. There are two things we should expect when we come together. The first thing we should expect is for God to say something or do something in our midst. You should expect God to show up every time we come together in His house. You should come in here saying, Lord, I expect you today. Yeah. I don't know what happened last week, but God, today I expect that this is the day that you will do something in my life. You're going to say something or do something. Anybody ever been in a desperate situation where you say, God, I need you to say something or do something? If you don't say anything, do something. And if you don't do anything, say something. Hallelujah. You want to come in every day, God, say something or do something. Either one, I'll be fine. Hallelujah. I come expecting Him to say something or do something. That's the first thing you should expect. The second thing you should expect is that God will use you to bless somebody else who's here in the building. Yeah, yeah. It's time to graduate from I just come to receive. Anybody can do that. At some point, you got to graduate and say, God, I didn't come just to receive, but I came to give. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get out of myself. I'm going to stop thinking about what I'm going through. God, who do you want me to bless today? Not only do I want God to do something or say something, guess what God is saying to you? He wants you to do something or say something. Lord have mercy. Do something for somebody. Say something to somebody. The apostles, they said something and they did something. The very thing we want God to do, God is saying, that's what I want you to do. If you want me to say something and do something every time y'all come together, then guess what? I want you to say something and do something every time you come together. And how do we do it? The Bible says, everything you do in word or deed, do it how? Do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's where the power is. Isn't that what the apostles said? The apostles didn't say, just say, get up and walk. They said, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Oh God, there's power in the name of Jesus. I'm going to say this, let you go, but that's why the adversary don't want us to say Jesus. They want us to call him the big man upstairs, or the strong man, or the wind, or fire. No, hope has a name, power has a name, and his name is Jesus. Come on, somebody say Jesus. Sickness is subject to him. Demons are subject to him. Poverty is subject to him. The air, the winds, and the waves obey the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Some of us are so frustrated because we're saying stuff, but ain't nothing happening. You got to put the name on it. Hallelujah. You got to call his name. You hear what I'm saying? Stop arguing with people. Just walk by and say, Jesus, Jesus. You ain't got to say it loud either. Just while they talking, just, Jesus. Can I tell you how many times I've seen my mother walk around our house not saying anything but Jesus, Jesus. Come on, I got to witness it here. Sometimes it's so complicated, it's so deep, it's so terrible. All you can do is say, Jesus, God, I don't even know what to ask you to do. It's so complicated now, but I know something happens every time I call your name. So I say, Jesus, in my circumstance. And here it is. And when I call him, I expect him to answer. Can you lift your hands and just say, Jesus? Just say, Jesus. Come on, let's worship Jesus. This may be the moment. This may be the moment. This may be the time you call him and something changes. Hallelujah. You may be able to walk out of here with your back straight today because you lifted your hands and called on Jesus. Tonight may be the first night you've had a good night's sleep in months because today you called on Jesus. You put his name. Come on, let's saturate this place with his name. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah to God. We love you, Jesus. Come on, help me call. I promise you, I'm going to let you go, but let's charge the atmosphere. Miracles can happen. Anything could happen when we call on Jesus. Faith and power is in the room. Healing is in the room. Deliverance is in the room. And it's all in the name of Jesus. You can live here with more than what you were expecting in the name of Jesus. You came 1 in 20, but you'll leave here with 1,000 in the name of Jesus. There's no other name, no other power. There is nobody else to ask for help. There is no other resource that can do it. Only Jesus can do it. And he's in the room.